Sunday the 30th of December, Rabbi Yoel Rabinowitz in Yonah Tzela.
Now they say a story doing the rounds a few years ago. It's probably apocryphal, but it will suit our purposes anyway. Of two gentlemen who were sitting on a plane, traveling to the same destination, didn't know each other. One's Rosh Hashiva, the other one was a professor. So, as is his derech, the Rosh Hashiva, a couple of minutes after the flight takes off, pulls out a gemara from his bag, puts it on his tray, and starts learning. The professor's next to him, taking a look, watching what he's doing, and says, "Excuse me, I hope you don't mind if I interrupt a moment. I see you very busy. Do you mind telling me what you're doing and what you do for a living?" So he says, "No, it's fine." So, happened to be a dean of a Talmudical college. He says, "And I'm going to land and go straight to the college, and I'm going to have to give a lecture when I get there." So the professor looks at him and he goes, "Ah, yeah, Judaism. Love thy neighbor as thyself, yeah?" "Yes." "Okay." A few minutes later, maybe feeling that he's got to, you know, keep up with the Joneses, so the professor takes out some papers from his bag, puts them on his tray, starts studying them carefully. So the Rosh Hashiva turns to him and he says, "See, you're also a busy man. Mind if I ask you what you do for a living?" So he says, "Oh, I'm a professor of astrophysics in a very important university, and I happen to, as in my spare time, I happen to be president of the International Astronomy Society, and in fact that's why I'm going at the moment to give a lecture." So the Rosh Hashiva turns to him and goes, "Ah, astrophysics, that's twinkle twinkle little star, right?" "Twinkle twinkle little star." The point is, when you don't know anything about the subject, it's all this haze. It can all be incorporated in this simple statement. And sometimes people genuinely think they know all about it. They really do. They believe they know all about it. The relevance to what I want to discuss today, and I've actually talked on the Inyan of Tefillah before, but I'm going to go off on a slightly different track this time, is because it states in the Mishnah, "Al shloisha dvarim ma'olam oimet, al Torah, al avoda, al gemilas chasadim." Sorry, is this meant to keep turning? "Al Torah, al avoda, al gemilas chasadim." Torah, we're big into Torah nowadays. Baruch Hashem. As you look around, you see Bate Medrash full of people sitting and learning, yeshivas full of bachrim learning, kolim full of young light learning. We realize Torah is rechava min yam, shivim panim la Torah. There's mikra, there's mishnah, there's talmud, there's halacha, there's parzah, shat, remez, drush, soid. We know there's so much to Torah, and the more you learn, the more you appreciate it. When it comes to the second of the amudim on which the world stands, well, presumably there's three amudim. You don't have one enormous amud and a couple of little struts at the side. There's three amudim. One of them is avodah. What's avodah? Avodah is avodah shebereis, tefillah. And I feel, I'm talking for myself, I feel the whole time that we're just not equipped for it. We're like the astrophysicist who turns around and says, "Ah, yeah. Love thy neighbor as thyself." "Yeah, what's davening?" "Yeah, what do you mean davening? You go, you daven. And serious, that's how you daven. Yeah, that's it. Now we know all about it. We've got a full understanding of tefillah. You daven seriously." Imagine if we used that approach towards Torah. So I think the only way that you can prevent a situation in which we remain our entire lives davening like we did as as young, you know, children in the chatorium or in school, it's by being, you know, when I say definitely like children in the chatorium in school, it's not true. It's not true. So again, speaking for myself, that presumably there's other people like that. So we're worse than that, because in school at least they were still new to us. Sometimes you look in the sitter. Sometimes you check what the next word is. Now you're on autopilot. Autopilot. You know, you start at 7:30, you finish at 8:20. Autopilot. How do we prevent that? I think the only way is by actually learning about tefillah. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kol ma'ayim, kol ma'ich b'tefillato, ma'ayim boy, sofei l'avoy day kevli." Comes to heartache through being ma'ayim b'tefillah. So the Tosas asks the Kasha. Tosas asks, "What do you mean?" In Zvayim, Shom Leichel Pei, Yisem Bein, and Zemek, Ken Kiem, Sayin Abbas, Shteit in the Goy, Shabbos, Vion Tvila. So, Tosas gives an answer, but maybe we can answer that. Maybe we can just suggest an answer for our convenience. There's two types of Vion Tvila. The Vion Tvila there in the Gemara is quite clear. It's talking about where a person davens, and he says, "That was a good davening. I davened well today. I really put my heart into it. Zichud Ribbon Shalom will answer my tefillah." Someone is relying on the quality of his own tefillah. Sofei l'avoy day kev leiv. He's running himself into real problems. He's going to have heartache because it's not going to work. Quite as simple as that. Masha Ein came when he says Eon tefillah. Eon tefillah means in the Braisa means learning tefillah. Like the Gemara elsewhere says that tefillah is oiskim b'chay yishar. Tefillah, we benefit from it now. We ask for what we need now. Yes, it's ken kem esonim habom, because tefillah works incredible things. In the Olamos, if you learn, for instance, a bit of Nefesh HaChaim, you see that tefillah works incredible, incredible things throughout the Olamos. But the payos are here. So I think that the only way of coming to terms with that is actually by studying tefillah a bit. Last time I spoke about tefillah, I mentioned that there's 13 different types of tefillah, which are brought down by the Yalkut Shemoini. And I talked a little bit about one of those types of tefillah. I was thinking of doing the same this time, but I thought maybe to use a slightly different track. And what I'm saying is not really going to help anyone to actually daven better. Don't think so. But what it might do is to stimulate us to consider the fact that there's a lot to tefillah. There's an awful lot to tefillah which we're not thinking about at all. And if we start thinking about it, then it will help us to come to daven better. I want to talk about not different types of tefillah, but maybe different types of mispanlim, different people who daven. And when I say different types of mispanlim, one person can be more than one type of mispanlim, depending on the situation. But not everyone can be every single type of mispanlim, as you'll see. I want to say over a couple of stories from the Gemara. Most of you will know the story, at least to some extent. It's a piece of Gemara. You learn Gemara more than once, so I think I can say it over anyway. The Mishnah in Tanis, the famous Mishnah in Tanis, it's probably one of the... It's very rare that the Mishnah goes into a story in detail, but the Mishnah in Tanis is one of those that does. So there's a famous story about Choni HaMakos, but I'm going to say it from the Gemara, because the Gemara has a couple of details to it. The Gemara says that once, it was almost the end. Rosh Adar had already gone. The majority of Adar had passed already, and the rains had still not come. And the situation is getting desperate. Desperate. So they made the decision. They went to Choni HaMakos, and they said to him, "Rebbe, we need you to daven for us." So he davened. He stands and the rains didn't come, which is very unusual. A very unusual thing. It's kind of like when you're mad, you stand and the rains don't come. Og Uka. So now he took his example from Habakkuk and Ovi, and he drew a circle, he stood in the circle, and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, people are relying on me. They can't ask me to that because they think I'm like a Ben Bais, I'm part of your household. They think I can tap them for them. Nishbani says Choni Amaku, but Shimcha Godol Shemizot Mikanat Shetrachim Abonecho. I make a shvur, says Choni Amaku, that I will not move from this circle until you take Rachmanis on your children. And he says that drips started falling from the sky. A few drops here and there. His Talmidim came to him and said, Rebbe, they said, it's not vain. That's not what vain, that's not what we need. Rebbe, that's just the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to be part of your Shavuah, he wants you to pat up your Shavuah, so a few drops came down. So he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, says Chaim, that's not what I asked for. We need rain to fill the cisterns. We need rain to fill the reservoirs. That's what we need. So then it started raining. I think rain, it came down buckets, literally buckets. Chazal says, the Gemara says, Chazal says each drop was literally the size of a large cup. Enormous, just torrential rainfall. So they said to him, they came to him, they said, it's destroying the world. So he says, that's not what I asked for either. I wanted Gishmei Bracha. I wanted rain which is good for them. Gishmei Rotzin Ubracha Nadava. So Yadu Ketiknam. Then the rains fell as they should fall. The problem is, Dayan said when they should stop. So it rained. And 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 it rained. Until they all came up to Har Bais as the highest point in Yerushalayim because they were being flooded out. They said, "Rebbe, it's being flooded out. Don't stop it. Don't stop raining. Please, daven that they should stop." So he said, "I can't do that. I have a Kabbalah that you can't do that. You can't quite do that." Kach mukublami shem ispanim alroif atoiva. But all the same, we'll find a way around it. Bring me a pahudah. Bring a carbon. So they brought him a pan. He was so much blood on it, and he said a tefillah like this. He said, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Amcha Yisrael she'tzeisam mimitzayim. Your people you brought up in Mitzrayim, they can't take too much punishment, and they can't take too much bracha. They can't. They're not up to it. So when you were angry with them." Couldn't take it. Now when you must be on them shefa bracha, they can't take it either. Ye rotzoinu fanecha sheyipseku hagshom v'yei revach ba'olam, so that the gashomim should stop and there should be an easing of the situation in the world. And sure enough, the wind came, the clouds dispersed, the sun came out, the mushrooms started sprouting, they had what to eat immediately, and everything was all right. Shalach l'Shim ben Shatach. Shim ben Shatach sent a message to Choni HaMagdil and he says to him, if not for the fact that you're Choni HaMagdil, we'd have put you in Chayim. What would have happened if it was years of drought like the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, that where there was a gezeira that there'd be a drought, so there would have been a chilul Hashem because you made a shvuah that you won't move until the rains will come. But what can we do? I can't do anything about it. You mess around, you drive the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol mad, like a child drives his father mad. Can I have a hot bath? No, can I have a cold bath? Can I have this teeth? Can I have that teeth? Can I have the other thing teeth? No, I didn't want it like that. I wanted it like that. The child drives his father mad, driving him mad. And yet they do everything that the child wants. So it's the same with you. Keben ha-mischate lifnei ofis. Keben ha-mischate lifnei ofis. That's the tefillah of Choni HaMagdil. Keben ha-mischate lifnei ofis. He danced to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Keben ha-mischate lifnei ofis, like a child mischata lifnei ofif. Why? What is it though that makes the father do everything the child wants? Yeah, there's a relationship between them where the father loves the child. And there's something else as well. The child never has any doubt at any time whatsoever that his father can do anything. Everything. His father can do everything. And there's no one else who can do anything. It's not even a question of saying, well, I've got no one else to help me. It doesn't occur to him that there's anyone else who could do anything for him. That's Kabana Mishkata Lifnei Ofif. That's Choni Amaku. So he says, rain, and it rains. Not like that, so like that. Not like that, like that, so okay, like that. It's like the Kabana Mishkata Lifnei Ofif. That's the relationship. An incredible relationship. A relationship which breaks all the rules. That's Kabana Mishkata Lifnei Ofif. That's one type of tefillah. There's another type of tefillah. The Gemarian in A 19 in Brachos, at the end of A 19, Gemara says, it's a story about Reb Chanina ben Doisa, the great Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Shuv Maisav Reb Chanina ben Doisa. He went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is an author, he went to learn Torah by him. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son fell ill, seriously ill, a matzav of psychology. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and he says to him, Chanina, my son, do me a favor. Daven to the Ribbono Shel'olam that my son should get better. So Chanina ben Doisa puts his head between his knees, it's better to the Ribbono Shel'olam, and sure enough, the child recovers. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if I'd have put my head between my knees all day long, it wouldn't have happened. So his wife asks him a question. She asks him, Rabbi Yochanan, she says to him, I don't understand. Rabbi Chanina is greater than you? So he says, no. He says, no, but I have a status like a sar lifnei hamelech, like a prince, an official, a governor lifnei hamelech, before the king. And he is like an eved lifnei hamelech. I saw a wonderful hesbeh in this from the Gaon. The Gaon in Megillat Esther, on the pasuk lechosara v'avodah, explains what the sar is and what the eved is. He says the job of a sar is that the sar has to look after, at least say, a province of the country. He's in control of it. He's got to make sure that the laws are kept, that people have what they need. He's the Moshe. He controls that part of the country. That's the job of the sar. The sar wants to come to the king. He makes an appointment to come and speak to the king. They talk matters of state. They talk big matters, important matters. I mean, he's one of the most important people in the whole country, the sar, obviously. But when he wants to meet with the king, he makes an appointment. The eved is part of the king's personal retinue. That's what we're talking about. Someone who's part of the king's personal retinue. He doesn't have to make appointments. He's in and out of the room constantly, ongoing. From the time the king wakes up to the time the king goes to bed, his PA, his personal assistant, is constantly available to help him with this run the country, the civil service, you know, pass messages, etc. So that's Sar and Eved. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Moshel the Torah. He is the king of Torah. He was the leader. He was the greatest Talmid Chacham. That's a sign. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa concentrated, says the Gaon, on Yichudim and Tfilos. That was his concentration. I assume it's a little bit like the Gemara tells us with the Chassidim Arishonim, they Shoyim Shachas, Kodim Atfilos, Shachas, Zachar Tfilah. So the Gemara makes a cheshbon and they davened for an hour, and the Shmona Esrei took an hour as well. That's 9 hours a day. So what happened about learning Torah Mishamayas the Kirvam? So the Torah looked after itself. They got where to Matrika, where they didn't forget the Torah. but they concentrated their efforts, their main efforts were going into the Yichudim and the Tefillos, as the Gaon says. And that's Ke'evet, and that's Chanina ben Dosa. We have again two different types of tefillah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can daven, I assume Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai will daven about certain things, and maybe in some ways, on certain matters, maybe it will be even more effective than Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. But just because his child's ill, he can't suddenly say, right, I'll daven to Hashem's Rachamim to all be better. It doesn't quite work like that with the Tzar. That's the effort. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he's constantly involved in that. His mind is full of Yechutim and Tefillah the whole day. So that's Ben, that's Tzar, that's Ebed. I must apologize because as I was drawing up this list for myself, I realized I'm not even going to get to the point at which maybe we have them. None of these categories are going to really fit for the average person most of the time. But as I said, I'm not trying now to give the practical answers of how to do. I'm just trying maybe to stimulate a little bit our thought processes. No, let's think about tefillah. Let's look at another possible category. I think there's another obvious category of misspelling, because David HaMelech mentions it for us in Tehillim. Tefillah la'oni kiyatoi fifnei Hashem mishpeis tichoi. This isn't the Tzar. It's not the Ben, it's not the Eved, it's the Oni. What's Pshat the Oni? Tefillah Oni ki yatev lifnei Hashem yishbeich lichoi. When he pours out his heart. We're talking about the Oni. The Oni is a person who's in a situation. Zach says he's in difficult situation. It might be an ongoing situation. And he's at a stage, he knows there's nothing he can do. There's no way he can turn. He pours out his heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He dams a tefillah which is ibnei Hashem yishpeichoi. Shivchi kamayim libeich. Noichach pnei Hashem. That's the tefillah la'oni. That's a very powerful tefillah. In fact, so there's a medrash which says, Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't care who you are when you daven. It doesn't have a pecking order. And this one comes first, and then that one, and the other one, he's at the end of the queue. He's got to wait his turn. Maybe he gets a turn, maybe doesn't. Not time today. No audience. Doesn't work like that. State tefillah la Moshe Shalekim, and tefillah la Oni Kiyatoif. Moshe and the Oni is the same. That's the tefillah of the Oni. So that maybe we can add to our list. I thought maybe we can push that list a little bit further. You know, there's a Peletika piece of Chumash. When I read it, it's a Peletika. Benyan Tefillah. After the Malachim had been to see Avram, Malachim's Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, Am I going to hide from Avram what I'm going to do? I can't hide it from Avram. Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm going to tell him exactly what's going to happen. He invites Avram to put a case, to be mispalel on their behalf. And Avram accepts the invitation. And Avram davens a tefillah, a gewaldika tefillah, a tefillah from the Avos, a long and powerful tefillah. Hashem faith kol ha'aretz le'yaseh mishpat. Maybe there's 50, 40, 30. He's mispallel. He stands there and davens as no one else could daven. And what happens? At least on the poshut level, on the plain level, absolutely nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing at all happens. He doesn't save a single soul. I'm talking about at our level, at the very posh level when you read the pasuk. Comes along someone else, Lot. Let's call this category Tfilas Lot. And he dabbles a teeny little tefillah. Teeny little tefillah. One small paragraph. Ending with Hallo Mitzahi Uschi Nafshi. He says it's Tzoya and it's not as old. Please, Zonshan, don't do it. Now here's Tzoya. It's not. It's a couple of years younger than the other cities. They're not done quite as many of those. Let them live with Shinafshi and I'll live there. And what happens? He saves the whole city. An entire city with that filler. Here's Avraham Avinu. Hardama Gadoba Anokim. And there's Lot. This is Tfilas Avraham and this is Tfilas Lot. And Lot succeeds. What happens? I think the answer lies in the two last words. Usachi nafshi. Lot says, save me. Ribbono shel Olam, save me. And dang. Save me. That's a person drowning in the sea. And he calls out, save me. That's all he has to say. Lot is in a situation of life and death. He knows now, from the depths of his heart, there is nothing which can save him except the Ribbono shel Olam. And he can't express that. He can't start saying long, wonderful tefillahs. That which comes from this part of the heart is just, save me! And that's a tefillah of Lot. And that's an incredibly powerful tefillah. That's a tefillah of Lot. As I said, on the poshut level we're talking, we're not talking about what the tefillahs of Avraham did, and we realise that those are the tefillahs of Avraham, and that's the tefillah of Lot. But every tefillah has its place. There's different mispanelim in different situations, and maybe we can use that to explain a very interesting Rashi in Shalach. Rashi says in Shalach, Rashi says in Bishara as follows. He says, Matitzak, Hashem Yisrach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzak Elai, Dabar B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael, why are you calling out to me, crying out to me, speak to B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael and they'll travel. Rashi says, Matitzak, Titzak is a Lashon Tefillah. It's not the time for long tefillahs now. Yisrael in trouble. Dabar B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael, what do you mean it's not time for long tefillahs now? I think maybe that's Pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu was Omer to Mispalel. There's times for long tefillahs, as the Medrash says, for over 40 days it was Mispalel for Klal Yisrael after Chet Eikel. There's times for long tefillahs, but not now. Now they've got the sea in front, they've got the Egyptian army heading in fast behind them, they've got the cliffs on each side. Now it's the time to say, save me! That's all. That's the tefillah for now. Maybe getting to the parshas, the inyanim which we're discussing in Shmos and Vayera, maybe we can just go for one more category. It says in Parshas Shmos, "Vayi vayomna Rabbi Mahim vayonchu bnei Yisrael min avoda." Over those many days, vayonchu bnei Yisrael min avoda, vayizaku tal shavasom elokim min avoda. Whatever, yeah. The first thing that happens is Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avodah. Afterwards is Vayizaku, Vatal Shavosim Elokim, etc. What is Vayonchu? What is the gloss of Vayonchu? Different ways, I think, to understand it. But I see that in Sivas Shalom and Rav Shimshon Pinchas, understand this in a very similar way. Vayonchu is a groan. It's not words, it's a groan, which comes from deep down inside the person. And Shushan Pinchas says a very interesting thing. I mean, the Nesiv Hashem says it's when words can't express it. The pain and the suffering which the person is feeling cannot be expressed by words, and the way it shows itself is in this groan. And Shushan Pinchas says that this is a part, this is a natural part of the human being. Ribbono Shel Olam made it that when a person is in terrible trouble, in terrible pain, they groan. He says, why do they groan? Ever thought about it? I never thought about it. He says, why does a person groan when they're in their trouble? He says, because the Ribbono Shel Olam puts it into the person so that people will have rachmonis on that person. When a person groans, he says, I'm in terrible, terrible trouble. And he says, actually, ultimately, that is a natural tefillah which is instinctive within a person. Because a person is asking for help from the one who can help him. And if a person thinks about it a little bit, and concentrates and understands what's happening, he understands there's only one who can really help him, and that's the Ribbon Shem. So Vayyonchu is the ultimate tefillah of a person in absolute dire, desperate trouble. Vayyonchu groans. And once they groaned, min avoida, then the Ribbono Shel Olam was already answering them. And gave them the ability and the tools by Yizaku and Vatal Shabbosom to then move from there to understanding what was happening and to getting together and to being mispalo to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Vatal Shabbosom and Elikim, and ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam brought about the Gula, we too should be mispalo, and the Ribbono Shel Olam should take us out from our Golos, and we should see the Gula b'Mehirah Yameinu.